Years ago, when I was a novice, the Sisters of St. Joseph installed a swimming pool on the Mother House grounds. So one bright summer day, after we had just finished our morning classes, we decided to take a quick dip before lunch. There was an older sister there when we got there, and she was swimming in the pool. Actually, she was 83 years old. About a half hour after we were swimming, the bell rang for lunch. We got out of the pool and we got dressed, but as we were leaving, we noticed that Sister Teresa Agnes was still swimming in the pool. We thought she couldn't hear the bell, so we hollered over to her, "Hey, Agnes, you got to get out of the pool. The lunch bell rang." Agnes looked at us, stretched out both of her arms, laid back in the pool, floating, and said to us, "You just tell Reverend Mother that not alone on bread do we live." My kind of nun. Today in the gospel, Jesus had to straighten out the people about the bread, that it isn't by bread alone that we live. Last week, Jesus fed thousands of people by working a miracle with a few loaves and fish from a little boy. The people were amazed at that, and they continued to follow Jesus everywhere. When they finally caught up with him across the sea, Jesus knew exactly what they were looking for: more bread, more food. Jesus calls them on their stuff. They were busted. It sounds a lot like our Sharing for Life group at Grace of God Recovery House. Every Wednesday night, the Grace of God community of residents, volunteers, and staff gather for a delicious dinner, usually prepared and sent in by one of you faithful volunteers. Then after dinner, we gather in the living room for sharing. It is a sacred time for people to talk about how they are doing on a deep level. Sometimes we cry, oftentimes we laugh, and more often than not, we do the tough love thing that calls us to rigorous honesty and to take a hard look at our motives and behaviors. Jesus would love this group because out of the love in that room comes so much healing. Our residents begin to work on forgiveness and acceptance, and through the brokenness of their lives, rays of hope start to seep in and restore their worth and self-respect. So Jesus, wanting the people in his time to have the fullness of life and to grow in love, says to them, "Do not work for food that perishes, but the food that endures for eternal life. This is the bread that comes from God and gives life to the world." This bread that Jesus speaks of is the bread of God's grace, God's understanding, God's compassion, kindness, forgiveness, and healing, God's unconditional love, God's total concern and care for this world and every person in it, no exceptions. It is the bread from heaven, the bread that we share here in the Eucharist every Sunday, the bread that we share at meals in our homes with family, the bread that the community gives to food cupboards, the bread that we break with friends, the bread of loving kindness, the spiritual bread that does not get stale or moldy or perish. I remember a homeless man years ago who came to our supper program. His name was Dunk, and he told us that even if we ran out of food, that he would still come, because he said, "We come more for the love than we do for the food." And recently, a reporter was doing a series on food cupboards. He interviewed people as they were leaving the cupboard. Well, there was a 10-year-old boy who had a small bag in his hand, and the reporter asked him, "Do you come here often?" "Yes," the boy answered, "every week." "How do you feel when you get your bag?" "I feel happy and my family is very thankful." "Well, what's in your bag today?" the reporter asked. Holding the bag up high, the little boy looked at him and said, "Love." Once again, the children get it. The reporter is asking about the food. The boy speaks only of love. Do you know who else gets this? People in recovery. Their addiction, a disease of the brain, had them chasing after so many things that only perished and left them miserable and in danger of perishing too. They would often work hard at a job, only to spend the family money on drugs or alcohol, gambling, overeating, or sex, all the perishable food that never satisfies. Paul Tillich, a noted professor, writes that there are three fears that have gripped humankind. In pre-Christianity time, people were afraid of death. In the Middle Ages, people feared guilt. Today, it is the fear of meaninglessness. There is no joy, only fun. There is no peace, only aspirin. And there is no hope, only drugs and alcohol. But here is the good news. Today, Jesus offers us another kind of bread. Jesus offers us himself. He is the bread of life. His mercy, his forgiveness and compassion, his kindness and understanding, his patience, and above all, his unconditional love are the bread of God that gives us life and meaning. I am the bread of life, said Jesus. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never, ever thirst. Now I would like to introduce Mark Bennett. Mark has been in this community for 5 years. He is on the staff of Grace of God Recovery House and has a powerful recovery story, some of which he will share with you now. Mark?
Good morning, everybody. Today I am a person in recovery. 4.5 years ago, my life was only fueled by the perishable food spoken about in the gospel. My perishable foods consisted mostly of alcohol and drugs. It was not until I came into the Grace of God Recovery House that I learned to be fueled by the spiritual bread that Sister Margie was talking about. After months of inpatient and things not going to my plan, I was interviewed by Sister Margie and Frank to be a resident at the Grace of God Recovery House. Frank asked if I was willing to go to any lengths to adopt a new way of life. And of course, Sister Margie did not hesitate to tell me I was high risk. After getting settled into the house, things were not recovering fast enough. I wanted my kids, I wanted my job back. I went upstairs and started packing my stuff to make my escape. As I was about to leave, Sister Margie pulled in and asked me where I was going. I told her, I've had enough and I'm done. Not knowing what to do, she told me to get in her car. As everyone knows, you don't say no to Sister Margie. So I got in the car and she started driving in circles. As we were driving, I asked her where she was going, and she didn't know. I told her that she was wasting her gas, and she said, it's not my gas, it's God's gas. The longer we drove and talked, the more baggage I was able to let go of. We drove until noon mass was about to start, and she asked if I wanted to go with her. So we walked in together, we sat down, and I started to cry. It was then that I felt God's hands on my shoulders for the first time, and I always say, his hands haven't left me since. When the crowd asked Jesus what they can do to accomplish the works of God, Jesus tells us that to do the work of God is to believe in the one he sent. My faith had begun, and my fuel source was shifting to the spiritual bread. In the gospel, Jesus says, "You were looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. This to me shows that while people see our actions, God sees our motive." After noon mass with Margie, I realized that God was calling me on my motives. Early in my journey, I was going through the actions to get my old life back. I was forced to realize that I should be going through the actions in order to be sober. As a member of a 12-step program, I can share with you that the principles of the first three steps are honesty, hope, and faith. My faith was solidified in noon mass with Margie. I was forced to be honest with myself and reevaluating the motives behind my actions, and all of you have given me hope. Your love provides warmth to every single resident. Your generosity provides a safe place for these men to call home. Your volunteers provide slamming dinners. The experience of the Grace of God Recovery House would not be possible without these things, and so many more. I love this community from the bottom of my heart. I feel strongly that God put us together. This community has loved me before I could love myself. It has raised me up and given me a peace of mind. It was here that I learned I am a child of God, and that sometimes the most important thing for me to do is to believe.